Greetings in the name of our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Pastor Matthew Udy. I'm one of our foreign missionaries. I spend most of my time in India, as well as some time in Africa. And I'm back in the States fairly frequently because of visa regulations. We read from the 2 Corinthians, the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I'm sure you're all well aware that as conservative Lutherans, we get accused often of being petty and argumentative. And the truth is that sometimes we can be. I got in a fight with my girlfriend the other day over risk, so that's an example. We have sins, and sometimes as pastors we can argue about what we may consider to be historical fact or points of what we consider biblical truth, but maybe aren't worth the time we spend fighting over them. Certainly, however, there are many things that are well worth it, and at every point of God's doctrine. And one of those is the doctrine of the means of grace. It's a doctrine which you don't find taught properly, if at all, outside of the Lutheran Church, but one that is essential for our life in Christ. There is one pastor I know of who has sermons. You can go on YouTube, you can look him up on YouTube and go to his church's website. And he is an amazing pastor. I love listening to him. He has a speaking ability that I wish I had. An ability to engage the crowd. You instantly just want to hear everything he has to say. And on top of that, he understands long gospel. That's something we often don't expect to find outside the Lutheran Church. He's a Reformed pastor. We often accuse him of speaking too much law, but this man understands our total depravity. He understands what a desperate condition we're in. He understands how even after becoming Christian, how much we need the gospel on a daily basis, and he preaches it. And that's another reason why I like to listen to this man. But the one point where he utterly fails is this teaching of the means of grace. And because he does not understand this, when he speaks about problems we have as Christians, for example, somebody who doesn't really feel like they have faith, or they doubt their faith, or they don't feel that joy in Christ, or they're troubled over some sin, his solution is pray harder. Well, we should pray about these things, that's for sure. But we also know that God's forgiveness, God's grace, the power to create and establish faith in our hearts is not based on our ability to pray or how hard we pray, but is given to us freely and in abundance through His Word. And so we can turn to His words and His sacraments anytime we feel that lack of joy, anytime we feel that weakness of faith, and rejoice that He is giving us all the gifts of His heaven here in His Word. You know, in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul talks about how God has blessed us with all blessings in the heavenly places. When I'm preaching in India and Africa, I like to use this example. And I say to them, what if I told you I was going to give you all the blessings in this room? You know, we're usually in a mud hut with maybe a few chairs and a fan. Well, that's not a very good gift. I'm not giving you very much. What if I was going to give you all the blessings I could find for you in America? Wow. Now we're talking, some wonderful gifts. But, of course, God doesn't say, in that room. He doesn't say in America, but all the blessings he can find for us in heaven. He's searching heaven, looking for blessings to pour out upon us, which he does through his word. Now, the text we read this morning might not be the best text if you are going to argue about the means of grace, but it certainly is my favorite when speaking and teaching about the means. You see how Paul writes here. He begins with the justification that is ours through Christ. God reconciled us to himself. That is, God pulled us to himself. No change in us. There's no difference between us before or after this verse, but God, the change is in God, who pulled us to himself through Christ's work of redemption. And then, in order to make sure that those gifts, that forgiveness of sins, might be spread throughout the world, he sent his means of grace, his word. The New King James and the King James, I think this is King James here, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I prefer the translation, laid upon us. Not just a gift, not just a book to put on a shelf, but something that is laid upon our hearts, through which we receive the gifts of God. That word, when we understand what it is that word gives us, then becomes to us like the water of life that David describes. A precious thing we drink deeply of to receive those gifts of God, and we rejoice in it. Something we need desperately. And if it's something we need desperately, how much more desperately don't those who have never heard it need that word? And so Paul finishes, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And again, I think that's probably not the best way to put it. I don't think Paul is making a metaphor. I don't think he's saying it's as if God is pleading through us. He's saying God is pleading through us through that word. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We'll finish this morning with the singing of hymn 757.